Father, we thank you so much for tonight, and we thank you for Good Friday. Thank you for what it means to us as Christians. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed to redeem us from our sins and to cause us who were otherwise far off to come near to you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood. We pray tonight that you will visit us and help us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We have just a short time left tonight, and so I want to go straight to the Word of God and share with you for a little bit this Good Friday night. Amen. Good Friday is a very, very important occasion for every Christian, you see, and it's a shame that in our country, Good Friday is not a holiday, you know, so we have to have our service in the evening after, because if we have it in the afternoon, you'll be at work and I'll be the only one here. Hallelujah. So otherwise, a good time to have a Good Friday service is in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, which is supposed to be when or about when Jesus died for us. Amen. And so we're trusting God that one day in future, when there are enough of us, we will have service on Good Friday in the afternoon. Amen. Yeah. And you're going to tell your bosses and all the people you work for, that is, if by that time you have not become the boss yourself. Because I'm trusting God that you will soon be the boss yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? If you believe it, amen. There are some of you, God is going to give you fantastic ideas for working for yourself. And you will no longer have to work for someone. You're going to control your own time, and you're going to serve God with your time. Amen. And so, see that day coming and coming soon in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Easter is very important. It's very important, perhaps more important than Christmas. Because at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Do you see? But at Easter, we celebrate the purpose for which Christ came. Amen. So when someone is born, it's good to celebrate it. But not everyone who is born accomplishes what they were born to do. For many people who are born, for whom we have nice birth celebrations, in my country we call it outdooring ceremonies. You know, we outdoor them in the night when the baby who has been outdoored is asleep. You see, right? So all those celebrations, over time, a lot of them don't, the people who were celebrated as such do not come to anything. Do you understand? So when someone has been born and the person has lived and has fulfilled the purpose for which he is born, then that occasion is even more important than the first occasion. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it makes Easter a very, very important season for every Christian. And I want to encourage all of you to make it personally an important season for you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you be doing for a living, and no matter who you be doing it for, you should always endeavor to make Easter an important occasion for yourself. Amen. See, some of you work with Jewish people, and some of you work with Muslims and so on, who, when it's time for their religious whatever they celebrate, you see that they are able to go to the boss boldly and say that I cannot come to work from this time to this time because it is Ramadan or it is this or that, you know, and everybody understands. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So when they are fasting, for example, you know, if there's an office party or an office lunch, you even respect him and try to eat away from him. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's time for you also to stand up for what you believe. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're a Christian, it's time for you to stand up for what you believe. That's why you shouldn't be in your house on Good Friday or Easter Sunday. You should actually come out wherever you are and make a statement. Do you understand? That Christ died for you. And if you don't talk about it, nobody else will talk about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we don't make it a big deal for us, no one is going to talk about it. How I love a certain man who's bought a house or built his house on a hill on the way to my house. You know, there's a hill down the 580. If you just keep going, that way is what? East or west? This way is east. Yeah. If you keep going down there, just to the left side, you see this man has a house on the hill. And at Christmas time, he puts the words, Jesus is the reason for the season, and he lights it up. And then at Easter, he puts the words, he is risen. That's it. Do you understand? And in the night, it glows. It's right there. You can't miss it at all. Do you understand? It is important that we are able to be bold about the faith. Jesus said that the one who denies me before men, I will also deny him before angels. Hallelujah. But the one who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before the Father and before the angels. Amen. It's a time to be bold about what you believe. It's a time to be boldly Christian, not privately Christian, not secretly Christian. People who are secretly Christian end up not being good Christians. You are not very successful as a Christian, you see, because you are able sometimes to have a little bit from the Bible, and we will close. Matthew chapter 16 is the book and chapter, and the verse we're looking for tonight is verse 21. We read this verse last week Sunday, and tonight I want to share from that verse again, and we will close. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Say amen, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, is that Simon? What a shock. All right. So The Bible says from that time, you know, just try to pay attention to me. Just try. Yeah, Simon. Yes, it's at the back. Wow. It's always amazing and beautiful to watch how the babies are born in the church, and they're born in the, and they're held in the basket, and then we even go to the baby shower first. You see, we go with the, to the baby shower, and then after that they are born, and then they're in the basket, and they're sitting in the back, and we have, and then suddenly one day you open your eyes and there's this baby walking around. You can't believe it's the same person. I think Michelle is our next surprise. Hallelujah. Right. But just back to the word. You know, the Bible says Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, naturally, it sounds odd and off that it appears someone is choosing a path, or someone is choosing a direction of life, or someone is making a choice that appears to be leading to his own suffering, and he's taking a path that's going to bring problems to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he seems to be bent on going in that direction and continuing to do whatever he says he's going to do. He says, I'm going to go to a place, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I must suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, you see, and be raised again. You see, it is in our religion, Christianity, that we find the first example of someone who knows that something he's going to do is going to lead to his death, but still does it. Do you understand? Today, a different religion makes that kind of living popular. Do you understand? But our religion or Christianity is the one that has the first example of someone who is deliberately making a choice to go down a certain path, even though he knows that this path will lead to his death. Hallelujah. So naturally, verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, it's not going to happen. Stop talking like that. Do you understand? And he said to him, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, tonight I want to focus on one thing, how that if you read the passage we're reading, you see that Jesus says in verse 24, he says that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hallelujah. He says, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me. The other day I was sharing with you and I was explaining to you how that if you are going to do something, you should be interested in anything that disqualifies you from doing it. Do you understand? Anything that's going to make your participation in something amount to zero is something that you must note. Because if you don't fulfill that requirement, then there's no point in even starting. You get it? So for example, like if you're filling forms to apply for something, and there is, they have made a stipulation of who qualifies, you know, to apply for this, Now, if you know or you go through the thing and you know that you don't have the things that are required, let's say you want to apply for a driver's license, and they say you need to bring your proof of residence or proof of birth or whatever. They ask for so many things, you know, and if you find yourself not having some of those things, then right there you know that this is not for me. I don't have to apply at all. Hallelujah. Because I don't have the things that are required for someone who will successfully apply for a driver's license. Do you understand? So, Jesus is helping us to understand who qualifies to come after him. And you can see in verse 24, he says, if any man will come after me, anybody who intends to come after me, anybody who plans to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you must deny yourself and then take up your cross. Do you understand? Take up your cross and then you can begin the quest of following after him. Hallelujah. You must deny, he said, deny yourself and take up his cross. So it looks like, whereas Easter often focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ, you know, within Easter is also contained your own personal cross. Hallelujah. Because as you can see, Jesus didn't say that we should take up his cross. He said the cross that should be taken up should be the cross that belongs to the one who is trying to follow him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, most of us have our minds set on the cross of Christ. Isn't it? We think about the cross of Christ. Even when we get to wear a cross like I'm wearing tonight. Do you understand? The mind is not that I am wearing my cross. This is not a reminder of anything for me. Do you understand? But as I wear this, I am thinking also about Christ. Is Christ and his cross. Do you understand? But what Christ told us is that anybody who must come after him must deny himself and take up his cross. So it appears every follower of Christ is supposed to have their own cross. Is it not the case? Every follower of Christ is supposed to have their own custom-made cross. Hallelujah. That your cross is different from my cross. Do you understand? But the way we identify the followers of Christ is by looking out for people who are carrying their crosses. Jesus is not looking for anybody to come and help him carry his cross. Do you understand? Jesus has carried his cross. Do you understand? And has followed the cross and has gone to where the cross has led and has done what the cross has required him to do, and he's finished with it. Now he says that anybody else who wants to follow him must also take up their cross. You must also take up your individual cross. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Every Christian has a cross. Amen. Amen. Every individual who seeks to follow God will have to follow God with their own cross. Hallelujah. There is a cross for you to carry. And it's not one. It appears from what Jesus said. It looks like the cross is already there. It exists. And what you are supposed to do is to carry it. Isn't it? It looks like the cross is already there. It's been designed for you. And it exists in your name. And what you are supposed to do is to carry the cross that God has ordained for you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, when Jesus took up his cross, where did it lead? Do you understand? What did he do with the cross? Did he hang it in his room? Or did he hang it around his neck? Do you understand? But what he did was to go to a place of suffering. and a place of dying because of the cross that he was bearing. Hallelujah. And that is why the devil didn't want Jesus to go on to the cross. Hallelujah. The devil did not want Jesus to go that far with the cross. The devil was trying to stop him. And so when he began to discuss the whole matter of dying and the whole thing about going to a place and suffering and going through some difficult things, then Peter came out and took him to the corner, the back of the building, and began to rebuke him and began to tell him not to talk like that. Do you understand? Now, you would imagine if you met two people and one of them, two people in the room, and one of them is talking about how he's going to a place and he's going to suffer and he's going to die. And then the other one is trying to discourage him from doing that. Which one would you say is the voice of Satan? I need to go back. Do you understand my question? If you had two people and one of them is talking about going to a place and suffering and dying, and then the other one is telling this one who is talking like that, don't talk like that. Do you understand? That don't talk like that. Don't say such things. Don't say that you're going to die. Don't say that you're going to go to a place and suffer and die. In fact, don't go to such a place at all. If you know that you're going to suffer and die, why go to such a place? I'm saying that if you had two people in a conversation like that, which of the two voices would you say is the voice of Satan? How many think is the first one? Huh? A person who is talking, is that Yehuda? What a shock! Yehuda, it's good to see you. It's a blessing. Very refreshing. Amen. But Yehuda, if you met two people, one of them is talking about dying. Do you understand? And from what this man is saying, it looks like it's a choice he's making. Do you understand? It looks like he has the option of not going to the place. But he's saying he must go to the place. And you can see there's no police officer around him. There's no one escorting him to the place. You know, we do not naturally go to a place where we know we are going to suffer. Isn't it? We rather live lives that avoid such places. So if you meet someone who seems to be deliberately making a choice to go to a place that will lead to his suffering and inconvenience and even eventual dying, and then you see another person who is supposed to be his friend talking to him and discouraging him from making such a move and telling him that, look, it's not appropriate. This is not a good way to talk. You know, is everything okay with you? Are you all right? And I'm asking you a question. Which of those two voices is more like Satan's voice? The first one. Isn't it? Yeah. You would say that you don't know what demon has gotten into this person. Isn't it? You would suspect that he's going off. That an evil spirit has attacked him, do you see? And it's causing him to become suicidal. Yeah. That's why he's talking about death. And you start looking into his life to find out what's going wrong. You get it? If he's a student, you'll be checking what are his grades like. You get it? Has he lost his financial aid? Is there a problem? You get, or is there a relationship that's not working out as it should? You know, someone breaking his heart? Is anything the matter? You know, why would you be talking like this? Is it not the case? Yeah. And yet, we are reading from the Bible that actually the voice of Satan is rather the voice that is trying to stop and to discourage a person from taking a path that would lead to suffering and that would lead to his eventual death. That is the mystery of Christianity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because Christianity has a lot of mysteries. A lot of things are upside down. You understand? You take, for example, the Bible says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you honestly believe that? You see, but that's what we are supposed to believe as Christians. Yeah. Because that's what the Bible says. That if you have to choose between you, Sheila, giving me $500 tonight, or me giving you $500 tonight, you should choose you giving me $500. That if you go into a room, the Bible, one of the things, the Bible says, the greatest person in the Lord, in Christ, the greatest person is the least of all. So if you went into a room and you see a person sitting on an armchair with his feet crossed, and another person running around and wiping his feet and bringing him coffee and, you know, making sure he's okay, who would you think is the greater one? The one on the chair. But in Christ, the Bible says the one running around, he is the one who is supposed to be the greatest. Are you getting it? Yeah? He says that the one who is the greatest is the one who is running around. Then we just read another one. He says, whosoever will lose his life will find it. And whoever will find his life will lose it. That means if you are really interested in your life, the one who really loves his life and wants to find it must be the one who is ready to lose it. I don't know why you are clapping. I'm just telling you what Christianity is like. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not surprising, therefore, that in the conversation of two friends, where one of them is talking about taking a path that will lead to suffering and dying, and then the other one discouraging him from talking like that, the voice of Satan is actually found in the voice of the encourager. The voice of Satan is rather found in the voice of the one who is trying to discourage the other person from making such a sacrifice. And the reason for that is that Satan knows. Do you understand? The devil did not have a problem with Jesus going around and teaching a lot of nice things. He didn't have a problem with that. Do you understand? He did have a problem with Jesus dying on the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? The devil didn't have a problem with Jesus gathering multitudes and teaching them, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, and all such nice teachings. The devil did not mind so much that Christ would do that. But when it came to the matter of sacrifice, do you understand? He took issue with that one and raised up a very good person. Do you understand? A very good person. One of the things that must not surprise you is the voice of Satan in the mouth of someone that you otherwise think is a good person to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he uses that person, says, no, this thing must not come on. This must not come on. Because the devil knows, if you look around all kinds of religions, you see that all religions have one thing in common, which is nice teachings. They teach people to be good. Isn't it? Yeah. Don't steal. Don't kill. It's not peculiar to Christianity. You know, don't cheat somebody. Don't tell lies. Those things are not peculiar to Christianity. All the religions try to teach people to behave properly. Do you understand? Good behavior is a generally accepted thing in among human living and human existence. And so it is not the unique thing about a religion. Okay. It's not the distinctive thing about a religion. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because if you are a member of any religion, if you are a good version of a member of any religion, most likely a lot of these things you'll be staying away from them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you'll be staying away from them anyway. You see, the distinctive thing about Christianity, do you see, is the fact that Christ went to the cross, allowed himself to go through the suffering that God had ordained for him, and to go there, because that is the thing that produces salvation in people. Do you understand? The whole message of salvation that has come up, that we are preaching and so, has come because Christ went to the cross. And when you read the Bible, you see, let me show you this verse I was reading today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do you think you understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read from verse 7 or verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Do you understand? Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's saying that there is a certain high level wisdom which the princes, or the people who were in charge, the princes of this world, did not know that wisdom. And he's saying that if they knew that wisdom, the number one thing they would not have done is to kill Christ. Do you understand? It says the first thing, if they knew, if they had access to a certain kind of wisdom, if the world had access to a certain high level of thinking, you know, the first thing they would have avoided was to have killed Christ.
Amen.
So that is suggesting that it is the crucifying of Christ that released a certain power that overcame them. Do you understand? A certain power that overcame them. In other words, by trying to crucify him, to prevent him from preaching more, and to prevent him from multiplying, and to prevent him, to sort of curb his activities by crucifying him, they rather multiplied his activity, because they crucified him, and the crucifixion actually released the power that made the faith just begin to multiply and multiply and become a lot. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible actually says that Christ, or the message of the cross, still in the book we're reading, 1 Corinthians, if you back up to chapter 1 and read verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you understand? He says that the power is in the cross, the preaching of the cross. That means the preaching of the message of sacrifice, the preaching of the message of Christian suffering, the preaching of the message of the cross. He says, is to, when a person is not saved, it is to that person foolishness. It doesn't make sense. Do you understand? It doesn't make sense. That is why when Christ is talking about going to suffer and to die, then Peter, with his worldly mind, do you see, will say that, no, that's not the way to go. It's foolishness. You see, it's a foolish way to go. It's a foolish thing to do. But Christ, who is operating that high level of wisdom, knows that, you know, after some time of preaching around and saying nice things and working some miracles and so on, now the next level of the battle is actually to go to the cross and to die. And when you go to the cross and you die, you would have won the battle forever. You would have taken the battle to the highest level. And the Bible says that is a wisdom that the world did not know. The guys around Christ, they didn't know that this is rather the high level of wisdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what is my point in all these things that I'm explaining? I'm explaining to you that there is a reason why God says you must also take up your cross and follow Him. Because your Christian life without your cross is like you without the power that makes you into the kind of Christian that God expects you to be. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. There is a reason why Christ, when He had the option to stop the suffering or to choose a different path that will not bring suffering, He rather went through the suffering and decided to go through the sacrifice. And the Bible says in doing that, He was actually exercising a wisdom that was way beyond the reach of the people who were killing Him. Because if the people who were killing Him understood the effect of this man being killed by us, do you understand? If they understood that by killing him, we are actually signing up for our permanent defeat. If they knew that wisdom, the first thing they would have done was to get him off the cross and say, no, 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 this man is not dying. But they didn't understand it. They didn't know that the power was actually in the sacrifice. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, today we have a lot of Christians who have left their cross behind. Because the cross is the symbol of the sacrifice and sometimes the suffering that you have to go through just because you have chosen to be a Christian. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is a symbol of sometimes the losses that have to come to your life because you have chosen to be a Christian. It is a symbol of sometimes the difficulties you have to go through because you have chosen to be a Christian. Do you understand? The choice to be a Christian is an expensive choice. It costs you something to be a follower of Christ. Hallelujah. You cannot follow Christ and He is carrying a cross and then you are just following leisurely. You are just cross free. That is why He said, if anybody will come after me, you must take up your cross and follow me. Do you get it? That means you and I will have similar experiences. Hallelujah. You and I will go through things. Look, if you're going to be a proper Christian, it's going to cost you something. Yeah. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to say no to some things. And by saying no to some things, you're going to sign up for some difficulties. Yeah. You're going to sign up for some difficulties because you said no. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You're probably going to have to walk to church or walk to work because you said no to some guy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the only person who is prepared to offer a ride to work is offering a ride at a price. You get it? A ride at an unchristian price. Rides with benefits. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is where many people drop their cross. Do you understand? This is where the crossless Christians fall. Because they have not embraced the fact that being a Christian entails carrying a cross and involves suffering and involves going through difficulties sometimes just because you choose to be a follower of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, just because you choose to be a follower of Christ. Because you are a follower of Christ, There are some things that will not come to you easily. There are some things that you cannot participate in. You will not be able to do such things. Like you cannot go out with an unbeliever because the Bible says no. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is the implication? The implication is lonely, prolonged loneliness. Yeah, prolonged loneliness. When people are out there with their boyfriends and things, you have to get into your room and listen to me preaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? Listen to me preaching. That is it. But unfortunately, because Christianity has become a faith where the cross is out. Do you understand? It's like these days we teach people that you can follow Christ with everything but a cross. Do you understand? You don't have to carry a cross. You just have to learn some songs. You get it? You just have to come to church. Come as you are. Yes. We come to Him as we are. But when we start following Him, you see, then He is going to demand that we drop some things. You understand? The carrying of your cross itself will require you to drop some things. It will require you. You need those hands to carry the cross. You can't be carrying some things and following Christ at the same time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Some of the movies we watch will have to go away. Some of the songs we play will have to go away. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. To serve God properly is going to cost you. It's going to cost you some sleep. See, many of you are not able to serve God to a certain degree because you're not prepared to suffer the pain or the difficulty. Let's say come to church during the week in the evening. It's going to cost you something. You say, I am tired. I understand. It's true. It is painful. Yes, it's true. It's just the way it is. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why without a cross, you can't do it. He says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him take up his cross. Please, ladies and gentlemen, when he said, take up his cross and follow me, what do you think Christ was trying to say? That you should hang it in your neck? No. Jesus was implying that following him will cost you something. Following him will cause you to make sacrifices. Rather, it is the devil who stops the sacrifices. Yeah. It is the devil who says, no, don't sacrifice. It's the devil who says, it's too far. It's too late. It's too much. Do you understand? It's the devil who says, listen to every bone and joint in your body. You get it? And that's when you see, when you move your hands, you begin to hear the cracks and, you know, and you begin to feel tired and exhausted. It is rather the voice of the devil that puts you in preservation mode and says, withdraw yourself from anything that wears you out, anything that makes you tired, anything that makes you yawn at work in the morning, anything that makes you not have your 8 hour sleep, anything that makes you not have a certain comfort. That rather is the voice of Satan, according to what we are reading. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? Are you getting what I'm saying? It is rather the voice of the devil. But the Bible says to be able to take up your cross, look at it. The first condition is you must deny yourself. You have to say no to a lot of the things that yourself wants. Yeah. He says, if any man will come after me, let him, that man, deny himself. Then he must take up his cross. Because the crosses vary from person to person. What may represent a cross for me may be very easy for you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. What may represent a cross for me may be very easy for you. Maybe for you to have to wake up in the morning represents a cross. Just to wake up in the morning, it's your cross. But there are some people who just naturally can't even sleep. They can't sleep. So to wake up in the morning, it's not a problem for them. So they wouldn't have to pick up a cross to wake up in the morning. Do you understand? But maybe to turn off the pornography on the internet, that one is a cross for that person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that one requires effort and that one requires some discipline and some pain. Do you get it? It's like you are itching, but you say no. Say deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Hallelujah. Listen, if anybody told you that being a Christian is just nice and sweet and will cost you nothing, they lied to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They lied to you. Being a Christian is going to cost you something. Hallelujah. You should ask yourself, what have I lost? What have you lost? Let me ask you, what have you lost since you started following Christ? You should be able to point to something and say, because I follow Christ, I lost this. I don't have this anymore. Do you understand? Because of Christ, I've had to go through this pain. Because of Christ, I've had to do this or do that. Sometimes even a certain behavior. You should be able to look at yourself and say, since it is because of Christ. Do you understand? Yeah. One day I heard a woman telling another person, she said that she went to some place and some customer service person was just giving her some hard time. And she said, you know, I almost gave her a piece of my unredeemed self. Yeah. It's like Christ is in the process of redeeming me and there's a bit left. Do you understand? There's a small part of me left that's not yet touched by the blood. You get it? And I almost let that part of me, you get it? So you should be able to look even at your behavior and say that it is because I started following Christ that I stopped this. Yeah. It's okay to tell, it's perfectly okay to tell somebody you are lucky I go to church. Say, you are very lucky that this was not last year. Yeah. Because Christ has put you in handcuffs and Christ has arrested you and has arrested your temper, and that free release of your temper as you used to do before is no longer the case. You can't do that anymore. You don't talk like that anymore. Yeah. It's okay to tell somebody, I'm tempted to tell you one of the things I used to say when I was not saved. So long as you don't say it. Hallelujah. Unredeemed words. Unredeemed vocabulary that you would use. Every Christian must point to something. You should be able to point to something that you stopped doing because you came to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Something you stopped smoking, something you stopped drinking, something you stopped eating. Do you understand? Something you stopped, a certain behavior, or even places you stopped going to that you loved with your heart. That you stopped going to because you came to the Lord. Because you are carrying your cross. Hallelujah. And he didn't say when you stop, it won't pain you. It will bring some pain. Do you understand? It will hurt sometimes. I've seen people become homeless because they know Christ. Yeah. One of our pastors who died last year, he used to be a Muslim. When he gave his life to Christ, his whole family rejected him. His whole family. Even when he died and we told his family members that your brother has died, they told us, well, they said he became a Christian. You know, so, and we don't handle Christians. We don't touch. So even his dead body was rejected. Say, no, we don't like his dead body. Say, you take it and do whatever you want to. Just tell us when you're doing it. We'll come and look at it. So they came to the funeral. A couple of them came to the funeral and they walked by. But to touch it, no, this guy, he has turned his back on us. We don't want him. So this person had no family anymore. This pastor had no family. His family was us. Because everybody in his household forsook him. And said, we don't know you because you have chosen Christ. And he said, yes, I've chosen Christ and I will still follow Christ. And he lived all his life without all these family members. Hallelujah. Amen. It will cost you something. It will cost you your friends. You can't have certain people for close friends anymore. Yeah. Many of such people you know are such a negative influence on your Christian life. Sometimes not only on your Christian life, but even on your life as a person, you are not hearing the right things. And it's affecting you. It's affecting your relationships. It's affecting your attitudes. It's affecting everything around you because of this association with this person. And your relationship with Christ may demand that you cut off such a relationship. And you see that it's painful. It's painful. It's painful. Especially when your heart is in it. But that's why Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? You know, do you love me? He says, comparing me to this, which one is more important to you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. How many understand my message tonight? How many are going to take up your cross? Yeah. Remember, you have a cross. And when you don't take up your cross, you don't have any power. Because the power is in the cross. It says to people who are not saved, it is foolishness. It doesn't make sense. They just ask you, what has come over you? They say, do you have to go that far to go to a church? Do you have to do this just to serve God? Can we not all serve God in this little place? Do you have to change churches? Do you have to do this? Do you have to do that? It is foolishness. But to us who are saved, you know, it says, but to us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Hallelujah. It is the power of God. The power of God is released through the sacrifices you make to serve Him. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? The power of God is released through the sacrifices you make to serve Him. So I want to encourage you not to hold back. When you hold back from sacrifice, you're holding back from what makes you powerful. You're holding back from the energy of your Christian life. The source of the power with which you live the Christian life is in the sacrifices that you make. Hallelujah. Everywhere sacrifice is made, power is released. Hallelujah. Anytime you want extraordinary power, power to be a little extra to ordinary people, it always demands sacrifice. If you like, go and see a medicine man or some juju man somewhere and tell him you want to be richer than all of us. That means you want to be extraordinary. Ha! If you want to be extraordinary, he's going to start asking you for sacrifice. Yeah, he's going to ask you for some sacrifice. Ask you to do some complex and sometimes to eat some very bitter something. Sometimes to eat something very smelly. An animal you are afraid of. He says you should eat its tongue. Yeah. He'll tell you to wake up in the middle of the night and run around your house naked. You say you want to be extraordinary. You want to have more money than all of us. He says, no problem. You need to bring a relative and let's kill him. Because there is no power released, whether it is the power of God or evil powers, without sacrifice. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? So, to decide that you're going to be a sacrifice-free Christian is to choose a powerless Christian life. But I encourage you tonight that you choose a powerful Christian life. A power-filled Christian life. and choose, take up your cross. He says, take up your cross, whatever it means to you. Because what it may mean to you is different from what it means to me. But whatever it means to you, he says, you take up your cross and follow him. Hallelujah. And that's the way you can be one of his disciples. Say amen. Stand to your feet tonight and let's pause. And tomorrow we're going to continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody. Bow your heads with me and let's pray. Just bow your heads, everybody. And I want you to pray for yourself tonight. I am sure that each of us has identified something or an area in our lives where a cross has to be picked up. That we need to pick up a cross. To take up the cross and follow Christ. I am sure that each of us has identified some area in our lives. And I want you to decide to pray. Some of us spend so much time Facebooking that we don't have time to read the Bible. And if you're going to be a Christian, you need to read the Bible. So you are a Christian who doesn't read the Bible. No wonder your Christian life is not developing. And for you to be able to do that, you have to now sacrifice Facebook. You have to now say that it's enough. No more Facebook. You may even have to go off Facebook altogether. Just to be able to follow Christ as you should. And it's a painful choice. Because you know how you love it. You know how all your friends are on it. You know how it excites you to know what's going on in people's lives and what's going on around your world. You know what it means, but you also know what it's costing you. And you know that you need to be able to say no to this. He says you have to deny yourself. Then you can take up your cross and follow him. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. Give me grace and help me. There are some of you, maybe it has to do with a relationship. Has to do with a relationship. You are a Christian, but you are still living in fornication. You know, you want to serve the Lord, but you are still living in fornication. And every time you are struggling with the guilt on your conscience, and you can never progress in your Christian life because of the way you are following this person and flowing with this person. But they have a saying that you can't eat your cake and still have it. You cannot follow Christ and also live like an unbeliever at the same time. You have to make a choice. And it's a painful choice. It's a painful choice. That is why it is called a cross. But when you take up that cross and you follow Christ, when you take up that cross and you follow Christ, then you're going to release the power that he promised to those who follow him. In the name of Jesus. I want you to lift up your hands, everybody, tonight. Just lift up your hands and just pray and say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I want to give my life to you all over again. I want to take up my cross, because I truly want to be one of your followers. I really mean to come after you. I really do mean to come after you. And I want to take up my cross. I want to take up the cross that you have given me so that I can follow you. I want to take up my cross whatever I need to sacrifice. You, to be able to be a tither, you have to take up your cross. It's going to cost you something. If you pay your tithe, it means you're not going to have money for certain things that you have been using money for. Perhaps because of your tithe, you may not have a certain amount of savings. But if you want to be a true Christian, then you have to pay that price. You have to pay that price in order to follow Christ as you should. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will be tired because of Christ. Yes. You will be tired because of Christ. You will be tired because of Christ. You will be tired. It will cost you tiredness. It will cost you modification in your character. It will cost you. You can no longer talk like you always talked before you knew him. It will cost you something. And tonight I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, I want to take up my cross and follow you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. His presence daily. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, to let the let Lord know and say,
I surrender.
Oh,
oh, oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, tonight we come to you. In the name of Jesus. Listen, before we close, I want to pray for you. I feel led to just pray for you tonight. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, because I know there's something in particular that I need to give up. In taking up my cross, there's something in particular that I need to work on. There's something I need to lose, or something I need to change, because of my relationship with Christ. And I've struggled with it. Tonight, God wants to help you. I want you to stand where you are, but just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Just lift up your right hand high up so I can see it. God bless you. Just lift it up and I'm going to pray for you. God wants to help you. It says, take up your cross. You need to take up your cross. You need to take up your cross. And the reason why you have continued to hold on to it is because you haven't been prepared to suffer and to go through what it means. But tonight, God is saying that I want to help you, because if you want to be a true follower of Christ, you will need your cross. You will need to bear your cross, and it may be painful. It will cost you something, but that's what is required. If you want to be a true follower of Christ. Father, I pray for all these ones with their hands up in the name of Jesus. Tonight, what we ask for is grace. We ask for grace. The Bible says, we are what we are by the grace of God. I pray for the grace of God that transforms people, that gives us enabling power to become what we need to become in the name of Jesus. Grace to lose, grace to say no, grace to walk away, grace to separate ourselves, grace to take on a new lifestyle, grace to include something in our lives that has not been part of it till now, in the name of Jesus. Grace to break a habit, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for that grace, in the name of Jesus. Let it come upon your people. Let that grace come upon your people. Let that grace come upon your people tonight, in the name of Jesus. Grace to break habits. Grace to overcome addictions, in the name of Jesus. Grace, oh God, to overcome wrong behavior, in the name of Jesus. Grace, oh God, to arrest bad character and ill-naturedness, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for that grace to descend upon all of us. Grace to make sacrifices. Grace to make sacrifices, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your visitation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, are you blessed tonight? Have you learned something tonight? Right. Ask your neighbor, what have you lost because of Christ? And then ask them, what have you given up because of Christ? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes, even because of Christ, I remember when years ago when I used to live and work in London, and my friend Bishop Richard at the time, we had just started a church, and I remember how we were looking for jobs, and all the jobs we were finding were in the evening, in the night, you know. And you see, when you're a pastor, most of your work is in the evening, because the church members are not available during the day, you know. So for us to go to work in the night meant that we couldn't do the work of pastors. And I remember how it meant that we were going to be broke. Do you understand? I mean broke. I remember that we were so broke. One day Bishop Richard was so broke, I remember I blessed him with £10. I was just giving him £10, you know. And then I didn't give it to him in time. I just remembered when the train had arrived. So as I was stepping on the train, I blessed him with £10. Between my hand and his hand, the money dropped and it fell on the rail under the train. You know, so he stood there and let the train move. And when the train moved, he went through the electricity onto the rail to pick up £10. Can you understand that?
Yeah.
To pick up £10. He risked his life just to, and I don't even know how he came back alive. You know, and I saw him recently and we were just remembering those days and just laughing. So what were you thinking? You get it? But that is the price to get to a place in Christ where £10 has become so important to you that you risk your life for it because you couldn't go to work in the evening for the sake of the church. You see, right now, the church is there. There are so many branches, about 100 of them. They have almost 5,000 members of a Lighthouse in the UK over there. Do you understand? But that has come at a price. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, somebody took up his cross and laid down his life, and today £10 is not a problem for him. You know, when I went over there, we took me to a shop, and then I took the shopping cart and I was just moving and then he was just tossing things into it for me. You know, he knows the things I like. I mean, I'm talking about cookies and these kinds of things. Yeah, I'm going to bring some to you on Sunday so you can eat some of those too. He was just tossing them into it. When there was once I picked something, I picked two. He said, oh, why don't you take four? And he just said, I just looked at him and said, hey, is this you? Crawling on train rails to pick up 10 pounds. Today you are saying take four. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It is a price you have to pay. Amen. Yeah. To serve God properly, you may have to sometimes say no to certain jobs. That even though you need money seriously. You get it? But you know, this job, if you have it, it means this, it means that, it means that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. One of our brothers used to work in a certain place. Eventually, he became a homosexual because of that, where he was working. Because he was already having trouble. He said he was confused. His identity was confused. And, you know, I don't understand why he was confused. Because when he goes to the bathroom, he can see, say, gents and ladies, and he goes to the gents. I don't understand why he says he was confused. So anyway, but he had that problem, and then he took on some job that encourages those things. Do you see what I'm saying? See, remember Jesus told Peter, he says, you don't savor the things that be of God. You savor the things that be of men. You don't encourage the things that God wants. You get it? You don't bring excitement to things that God wants. You bring excitement to things that men want. You see? And if you work in a place that brings excitement to a tendency that you already have, you get it? Then you shouldn't be surprised if you fall for it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes you have to say no. You have to say, Pastor, do you mean I should say no? How will I live? I don't know. I don't know. But it means that you're going to be broke. It means that things are going to be tough for you. That's what he meant when he said, take up your cross. Hallelujah. But you see, it's not tough for Christ anymore. Today he's sitting at the right hand side of God the Father. He's not suffering anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you read the Bible, you will see that after the sacrifice comes glory and comes enjoyment. Hallelujah. But you must be willing to pay the price. You have to be willing to do it. And it is painful sometimes. Sometimes with tears in your eyes, you still choose to do the right thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. So we'll continue tomorrow. Will you come tomorrow? So should I come? Yeah. Should I come tomorrow? Okay, I'm going to come tomorrow. And I want you to come. Pastor Henry says you should come early, isn't it? All right. So tomorrow we'll start a little earlier so we can finish earlier. Hallelujah. 6 o'clock tomorrow. Okay. So tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Amen. Take out an offering before we close. Just before we close, take out